I hear that Gustavo preaches from the center of the stage, so I better do the same thing. Gustavo, that's all right? Luke chapter 17, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me in your Bibles. Luke chapter 17. And I must also admit that this is a special day, not as special as my mom's 90th birthday, but this morning I met Joy and Steve Moscato from Minnesota. They're Trisha's parents, and they started watching First Reformed Church through COVID. So we've had this relationship back and forth over the past 3 years. I got such a hug this morning from her, and she said, "You look taller in person than on the screen." So anyways, it was so good to meet you both this morning. And now we get to turn to God's Word, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 17. Let's ask God to bless our reading of His Word. Father, we thank You that we may open Bibles, that we have the freedom in this country to do so. And we pray that we would take advantage of that every day to study Your Word. So this morning, as we open it together in this sanctuary, in this time of worship, we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would bless us, guide us through this Word, that we may not only read it and enjoy the account that we read, but even more, that You would reveal truth to our lives, a general, absolute truth in Scripture, but also that You would really reveal something to each one of our lives through this passage this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11, we'll read through verse 19. Now, on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thanks be to God for His holy and inspired Word. So it's Thanksgiving weekend, and we will no doubt, whether it's having our meal this afternoon or tomorrow, we'll no doubt have either a time of going around the table and giving thanks and everybody saying what they're thankful for, or maybe today or tomorrow you're going to be very specific and tell God that you're thankful for the harvest or for work or for your family, for your church family, for your life, for your health. All of those things come up in terms of how we're thankful for the blessings of God. Or, as our family will do today, we're giving thanks specifically for the 90th birthday of our mom and grandma, something she and we are very thankful for. See, the blessings of God are really critical and crucial for our well-being. And then thankfulness for those blessings, the Bible tells us, even provides health for our bones. So not only can we be thankful for our health, but in doing so, it produces something of a beauty in our body that is good for our bones. So how do we live thankful lives that truly acknowledge God without needing to say, "I'm thankful for God, but I'm also looking forward to more blessings that He gives"? How do we live life thankful for the blessings without even expecting any more? Really, then, it comes to this. What is the root of our thankfulness? That's also the title of the message this morning, the root of our thankfulness. There's a story of a woman who went to a coffee shop, and I'm not going to say Tim Hortons because that's not allowed in church, right? Okay, so it is. But anyways, this woman walks into a coffee shop, buys herself a coffee and a bag of about 6 cookies. She has a book, and she sits at the table, puts the bag of cookies on the table with her coffee, and proceeds to open her book and begin to read. As she's reading, an older gentleman comes towards the table and asks if he can sit down. And she said, yeah, no problem, because the restaurant is full. So he sits down, and he begins to read. She begins to read her book and sip her coffee, and she takes a cookie out of the bag. The gentleman sitting across the table also takes a cookie out of the bag. She's somewhat annoyed, but she keeps on reading. She proceeds, after finishing that cookie, to grab another cookie, after which he does the same thing, grabs a cookie out of the bag. A few minutes later, the gentleman takes a cookie out of the bag, pushes the bag towards her, gets up, and wishes her a good day. And as he heads towards the door, she drops her book or looks away from her book and is about to say something about him taking her cookies when she realizes her bag of cookies is still on the table. And it's unopened. How often are we like that? We assume that the blessings we are given are rightfully ours, whether from God or from others. This story, this account of the healing of the 10 lepers is really a story of a miracle, the healing power of Jesus, but it's also at the same time a look at how people regard the blessings of God. So first I want to look at the root of thankfulness, which is knowing our need. Now, if you have your Bibles open, the context of chapter 17, and especially this story, is really found for us in verse 5. We didn't read that this morning, but here's what it says. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So these 12 apostles are with Jesus. They're learning from him. And they come to ask him a question. Master, Lord, increase our faith. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, instead of Jesus saying, well, read the Ten Commandments, your Bible every day, read or pray every day, go to church every Sunday, Jesus takes them through a real life illustration that will serve to strengthen their faith or increase their faith, but it's also meant to increase our faith. I'm so moved by this story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. I picture intentionally because we've been to Israel and we've been on the journey from Jerusalem to Samaria and Galilee. And there's a lot of need in that area. And I can just see Jesus intentionally walking to this leper colony to minister to those who are affected by this dreadful and painful disease in order to do something for their faith, but also to teach the disciples about how their faith can be increased. Jesus would be one, just picture even in your mind's eye, in our city, in this city of Whitby, Jesus walking through the city, maybe from here, Emmanuel, out to Port Whitby, and all of the different places that he would meet, stopping maybe at Centennial Park, I don't know, but walking along the way. And Jesus would intentionally meet people to minister to them. And that's the Jesus we read here in Luke chapter 17. And even if no one would respond to Jesus, Jesus would still minister to them. These 10 lepers, they wanted to be healed. Not just the disease and the pain of it, but they were outside of the city. That's what Jewish law required. You were not allowed to be in people. You had to be in isolation outside of the city. And that could take quite some time before you could go back into the community. So when they saw Jesus, they knew and they had heard of Jesus and they knew that he could heal them. So they call out in a loud voice. I don't know if there were a lot of people around Jesus or that it showed the desperation of these 10 lepers. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus hears them. But then he does something strange. We would expect Jesus to say, be healed, and go and touch all 10 of them on their foreheads. But Jesus does something. He says something that they're required to do once they've been healed. So if Jesus would have healed them by laying hands on them, he would have then said, go show yourself to the priest now that you're healed. But he doesn't even touch them. He hasn't even healed them yet. And he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And the interesting thing is, they didn't say, yeah, but we still got leprosy. How can we go to the priest? No, they simply obey. There's a faith about them in who Jesus is that enables them to say, all right, we'll go. So on their way, the Bible tells us, Luke tells us, that they weren't simply healed, they were cleansed. That means they were healed from leprosy, but they were also cleansed from the disease that would rack even their blood system. And they could go to the priest to show him, and then back into the city. They realized they're healed. That's it. They got what they wanted and asked for. They asked for mercy. Now what? I wonder if they actually made it now to the temple to show the priest, or did they simply say, hey, we're healed, let's go back to our homes. But before we look at the one who did come back to Jesus, let's listen to one writer who came up with about 9 possible reasons why the others did not come back to Jesus with the other one. Well, one wanted to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if the healing would last. One said, oh, I'll see Jesus later. One decided that he never had leprosy after all. One said, ah, I would have gotten well. One gave glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said, the rabbi could have done it. And the other said, well, you know what? I was already really much improved. All of these excuses then, even though they had some level of faith, these excuses hindered them from going back and giving thanks to Jesus. There was some level of faith in them. They actually did obey Jesus and head to the temple to show themselves to the priest. But was that healing actually life-changing? Yeah, they were healed from their leprosy. They were. They were cured and they were healed and cleansed. But was it life-changing? Or was it just a faith to know that Jesus could heal them and nothing deeper? Because I'm convinced that the faith that the disciples asked to have began to increase in this point. They asked for a deeper faith to see the real Jesus. Faith that would bring them to know their need for God's love, a love that God was making known in Jesus. And that's what we see Jesus doing to the one who returned. In that moment of physical healing, he realized that he had a deeper need. So while the root of thankfulness is knowing our need and being thankful that that need is met, the root of thankfulness that will increase the faith of the apostles is knowing our greatest need. So in verse 15, we read, when he saw he was healed, he came back. Why? Just to give thanks to Jesus? Or was there a greater need that this one man had that went beyond being healed from leprosy? See, my greatest need right now is not simply to get through this sermon and go have cake and coffee with you. My greatest need is Jesus. Mom's greatest need today is not to make it to 91 next year. Her greatest need is knowing Jesus. Mom, you look kind of strange there as I said 91. All right. Our greatest need then this morning is not our physical need or emotional, it's spiritual. Our greatest need is Jesus. this man's healing would go beyond being cleansed from leprosy. He knew, like the others, that Jesus could heal him. But when he had that need met, there was something in him that urged him to go back to Jesus. The Holy Spirit. We read about the Holy Spirit in all of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one who caused people to follow God and obey Him and lead God's people. The Holy Spirit is the one who, when we read in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us into that place of repentance of our sin and our need for Jesus. And this one comes back, urged by the Holy Spirit, to acknowledge that Jesus is the only one who could meet his greater need. And did you hear how he expressed that? He praised God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet in thankfulness. Now, I don't know what he said. The Bible doesn't tell us how he praised God in a loud voice. It just said that whatever this healed man spoke to Jesus about in thanksgiving was loud. Remember who else spoke in loud words? The ten. When they saw Jesus, they cried out in a loud voice. Not because Jesus couldn't hear them, but because they needed to express themselves with enthusiasm, with zeal. Because this was their need. And now this healed leper comes back, and his greatest need is to praise God. His greatest need is to throw himself at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving and in worship. Worship not as an empty ritual, but a lively expression of acknowledging who Jesus is and an acknowledgement of thankfulness. Now, how does Jesus respond? And I get this feeling that Jesus doesn't simply look at this healed leper who's come back. Jesus is really looking at the 12 apostles and maybe those in the crowd behind them. And he looks and he says, "We're not all 10 blessed? Well, where are the other 9? As if the disciples had the answer. As if we have the answer. Where are the other 9? I gave you 9 other excuses that could have been part of the leper's reasons for not coming back, but we don't know that. But I wonder if the apostles wondered at that moment. Yeah, where are the other 9? Were they not thankful? But Jesus still hadn't spoken of this man's greatest need. It was yet to come. So Jesus asked the question. No, was no one found to give praise to God except this foreigner? Rhetorical question, but certainly in the minds now of the apostles. And then Jesus says this. While the disciples are thinking about the reasons why, and maybe what they're trying to get out of this whole instance, Jesus says this to the healed leper, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, here's the thing. The leper is already physically well. There's no need to heal him of leprosy anymore. That's done. So what is this well then that Jesus is talking about? And the well in the Greek is really the word to be saved. Your faith has saved you. It has made you whole. So not only are you healed from your leprosy, you are also healed in your soul from your sinful nature. Now, the interesting thing is, this man hasn't come back and said, "Lord, I'm thankful for healing. Now forgive my sins." So what's happening here? Well, really, the work of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Jesus, who knew this man and his greatest need, declared that the Holy Spirit had already done that work in this man to make him whole. In fact, Jesus declared him to be whole. The story ends there. But it doesn't end there in its truth. Leprosy is a disease. And all through the Bible, we hear that sin is a disease. And the only way to be made whole from sin is through a faith in Jesus. Not just a faith that Jesus could heal you, make you walk again or see again. It's more than that. It's a faith that rises us to a relational faith in Jesus. Not just an intellectual knowledge. There's Jesus. He can heal. Let's ask Him. Let's cry out. But that physical and visible knowledge of Jesus in salvation becomes one that is now relational. We know Jesus to be a healer, but even that, we know Jesus to be the Savior. The disciples are asking the question, asking Jesus, increase our faith. And in this moment, it's not about a Bible study. It's about Jesus declaring this man whole. And that kind of faith increases, raises our lives to a relational faith in God. I don't know where you are this morning. I know where I am in my relationship with God in Jesus Christ. I know that. I don't know where you are. I trust that many of you know Jesus as your Savior. I trust that. But I want to tell you something about this biblical idea of being made whole, of being forgiven, of being made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the disciples asked. Increase our faith. And what this wholeness does for a sinner like me when I came to saving faith was this: forgiven from a sinful past. That's right. Maybe somebody holds a sin against me, but God doesn't. My sinful past is gone in Christ. I'm forgiven and set free from sins that could hold me captive. Now, that doesn't mean I can just shrug off a sin that I struggle with, but I know that in Christ I can be made free from that sin. But then there's this relational part, that I made right with God. That's what we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. Can good works save you? No, they can't. Good works are certainly a part of being a Christian, but they can't save us. Only a faith in Jesus Christ and a confession of our sin can make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was our words of assurance, being made right with God. And then God does something like this, puts us in a church, a family of believers who are forgiven from their sinful past, who are forgiven and set free from sins that want to hold us captive. We're made right with God. And we together have a hope of eternal life. So what does this do then, this root of thankfulness in Jesus Christ? Physically, it can be good for our bones. Emotionally, it can give us hope. Spiritually, being whole means we see that the blessings of God are for life. Not just for a day-to-day occurrence of getting a meal or a piece of cake after church, but for life. The disciples prayed or asked, increased our faith, not just for today, not for only for this moment in worship, but for when we leave here, increase our faith. Increase our faith when the next trial comes up so that we might see that our greatest need or our need is to get through sin, but our greatest need is to have victory in Jesus, who alone can get us through that sin, but also make us mindful that we are already forgiven. The blessings of God make new our eternal life, especially as we see them in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible calls grace, because it's a gift. You don't earn it. You can't deserve it. but you are given it freely, and it's that grace that brings faith into our lives. That's really what Jesus came to do, wasn't it? Yes, he would come to heal. He would provide bread for thousands of people. He would teach. He would even raise some people from the dead. But his main purpose was our greatest need. He came to be our Savior from sin, and he died on the cross for that reason. And it's that saving faith that gives us eyes to see more clearly that God is blessing our lives and that Jesus is the greatest blessing we need for that life to be fulfilled. The root of thankfulness is really to know your need for Jesus. And when you know that, it's a life-changing root of thankfulness. I want to end with the verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the joy of hearing truth of Scripture read. We thank you for how these words can be explained to bring healing to our bones spiritually and physically. How we can now live lives that are thankful, live lives that convey that thankfulness every day. So God, we thank you for being present among us this morning, for hearing our singing, for hearing our prayers, for working in our hearts this word that you have given. We thank you for that. And I pray, God, that if someone was moved by your Spirit to come to Jesus, just as they are, that you will have worked in that life. So we thank you, Father, for what you have done in this time of worship this morning. And we do want to give you the glory and the honor. And we say, in response to all of this, to all of the thankfulness that we have in our lives, to the joy of being part of worship this morning, to the knowledge of us leaving from this sanctuary and enjoying a time together and then leaving the building and going on with our day and our week, we can be assured that if God is for us, who can be against us? And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.